Hey, this is Cap, and thank you for listening to the Cap and Company podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Let me introduce myself.
Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co and ESPN _ Chicago.
O'clock in the great city of Chicago. Carmen, New York, coming up at noon. Waddle and Sylvie at 2. Jay Hood at 6. 312-332-3776. Jeff Dickerson, our teammate, all over the Bears beat. And I would love his take on all the things he's hearing this morning from Bill Lazor and Chris Tabor, the special teams coordinator. And later, he'll hear from Chuck Pagano. JD, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, my friend. All these Zoom calls just makes me anxious, Cap, to actually get to Hallis Hall one of these days and watch a practice. You know what I mean? I mean, you can hear so much about everything they're going through and guys are showing up and they're in great shape and the quarterbacks have this wonderful recall of the offense and they're in this great rhythm. That's great to say. It's great to hear, but it's going to be very refreshing if we are allowed to go, which I think we're supposed to, around August 17th, to actually see a practice. So I think right now, I think we're on a little bit of Zoom call fatigue. It's better than nothing. Don't get me wrong, Cap. You have to have some sort of access, and access has been so limited the last, 4 or 5 months. So it's good to see some faces, to hear some things, but I just, for one, and I think I speak for everybody, just can't wait until we're actually allowed to watch a practice.
So I saw a number of your brethren in the media saying that Bill Lazor says quarterback Mitchell Trubisky has shown great recall, which is critical for a quarterback. Is that an overblown statement? Is that just, we're just trying to say something nice about Mitch? Or is he indeed, is that an important thing? And they actually, maybe that's progress.
Oh, I wouldn't think it means anything right now. I mean, I think that's just, we have to say nice things about people. I'm not saying that he hasn't shown recall. I mean, again, Cap, we're not there. We're not even allowed close to the building. We have no idea what's going on in those meeting rooms. I, again, would not look into anything too deeply here when you're talking about coaches on Zoom calls talking about players who haven't even practiced yet with pads on or just going through walkthroughs with rookies. So it's a nice thing to say. And I really do think that I really believe that Nagy has assistant coaches around him that all share a clear vision of what they want to accomplish offensively. And they all know this system or elements of the system that he wants to run. So I really think there should be no confusion this year. Everyone should be on the same page. And I think as far as their evaluations go, Cap, when everyone is kind of, I don't want to say like-minded because you want to have different opinions floating around, but when everyone really has a clear idea, Cap, of what the objective needs to be, I think the evaluations will fall in line easier. Like, they know this is what we need to get out of the quarterback position this year for the Chicago Bears to have a chance to make the playoffs. I mean, there's no gray area anymore. It's like they know this system. They know this offense. They've set the expectations. If Trubisky can't do it, Foles probably can in their mind. If Foles isn't looking good and Trubisky is surprising them and he's showing this great recall and things are translating from the meeting room to the field, then you go with him. But again, like, Zoom calls, and I heard that stuff too, and that's why I mentioned at the beginning that we're hearing about great recall, Cap, with some of our quarterbacks.
Right.
I think it's just kind of a lot of words at this point.
Right. It's just, let's say something nice and get everybody fired up, but we'll find out pretty soon whether he can do it or not. Right?
Well, and it's going to be, look, this is going to be very challenging for everybody, especially the quarterbacks. I mean, you're going to really have to value every single snap at practice. And this is where I believe what Nagy said. I think this was his original Zoom call 2 weeks ago, not yesterday, when he said that they are going to have to evaluate every play, every snap a quarterback takes, whether he's throwing the ball or not. Because, Cap, what else do you have? You've got no preseason games. You've got no joint practices. I mean, you're going to really have to bear down, and practice is going to have to matter for these guys like it probably hasn't mattered for them since they were in high school and college. I'm not saying that practice at the pro level doesn't matter. But when you're so good, you know what I'm saying. I mean, practice kind of falls into its own little rhythm, and you just kind of get through the weeks, and it's not as rigorous when the season gets here, and you know, you have your install day, you have your scout team day and stuff like that. But I mean, for training camp, there really can't be any days off, there can't be any plays off, and that's how they're going to ultimately determine who the quarterback is going to be.
Who steps in for Eddie Goldman? Who's the number one guy? Because Eddie Goldman's a really good football player,
like very good,
because he doesn't pile up huge sack numbers. He's not this charismatic face of the team personality. I've talked to some of them. Is he any good? He's really good. So who takes that role? Is that a Bilal Nichols, Roy Robertson Harris? Is there somebody else that, because Nick Williams is no longer here.
Nick Williams signed with Detroit. He had a pretty good year last year, Cap. Nick Williams, too.
He did.
He got some good money from the Lions. So he is gone, and he was certainly a big, big dude in the middle there, and he was an ascending player. Remember, he played a lot more last year after Akeem Hicks got hurt and missed all the time with the elbow injury. Well, you know, they have John Jenkins. I think that's a possibility there, Cap. I mean, that's a true nose who's a veteran who was here before, I think it was like 2017.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of starting experience. He was actually on the COVID-19 reserve list, which again, just to clarify for people, it doesn't necessarily mean that he tested positive for COVID-19. You're on that list either A, if you do test positive, or B, if you've been exposed to someone that's tested positive. He's off the list. So now he is back with the team doing the stuff that they're doing every day at the facility. I think that as far as body type, he's a guy that's going to be relied on if he makes the team. I think Bilal Nichols is going to have to give them more. I think he's a very good young player with a lot of experience after a couple of years. Roy Robertson Harris is more of an outside guy. I don't think he's more of an inside guy. But it's a loss. And you know, I think sometimes, Cap, statistics can be deceiving. Because when your job is to clog the middle and be an effective run stopper, he might not make every tackle. But if teams can't attack the Bears defensively up the middle in those middle two gaps, that makes it more challenging on the offense. So I think Eddie Goldman has great value. And Cap, I believe they extended his contract and gave him $25 million guaranteed in 2018. So that is absolutely a big loss. And I should mention too, Cap, you know, we did ask Matt Nagy yesterday if he anticipates any more players opting out before this afternoon's deadline. He couldn't give a straight answer as to absolutely 100% no, but his indication was that everyone is there, you know, they're in this great groove right now, they're doing their thing. So outside of Goldman and then Jordan Lucas, it didn't seem like he was anticipating anyone else opting out of the season.
All right, in 2015, John Jenkins played defensive tackle for the New Orleans Saints. He played 14 games, 12 were starts. He had 49 tackles, 23 solos, 26 assists, one tackle for loss. He was also with, Seattle, Chicago, as you said, in 2017, the Giants in 2018, and he played all 16 games for Miami in 2019. So you get a veteran guy who's 6'3", 327. He may not be Eddie Goldman, but he does give you a very solid, experienced player.
Now, again, he was brought here theoretically
for
to
depth.
Be a backup, right? So now if this were to happen, he gets pushed back up into the starting role. Is there going to be a drop-off? I would say probably. Just let's be realistic here. I mean, Eddie Goldman's still 26. You know, the Eddie Goldman thing is, when they drafted him out of Florida State, Cap, he was very, very young when they drafted him. I think Eddie still is just 26 years old, and he's been in the league since 2015. So, yeah, I think Jenkins is a possibility. They'll have to run through some options here. There's some free agents. Long way to go until they have to settle on that. But I think that is important because every great defense, Cap, as we all know, it's built up the middle, right? It's built up with that great, you know, sort of interior defensive tackle play, your linebackers, your safeties. So that's how you build defenses, and Eddie Goldman's going to be a tough loss for them to overcome.
At the wide receiver position, Allen Robinson is up after this year. Now, they could tag him, but that doesn't make a lot of sense. It seems like the vibe is they will get an extension done pretty soon. Do you believe that?
I mean, I would think so. I can't really think of many reasons why they wouldn't want to keep Allen Robinson for the foreseeable future. Now, I have heard some people, and I've had some debates with people sort of discuss, all right, he's a really good receiver, but is he sort of one of those elite receivers that's going to get the really big money? You know, the deal that Allen Robinson did with the Bears when he came here from Jacksonville was a shorter contract. I believe it was like 3 years, right? So he did that, took probably less money, but he did that to put himself in a position to cash in again and get another long-term deal before he was 30. And I think he's done everything that he needs to do. But I think you might come to a situation here, Cap, where you say, okay, what's the number? Like, let's pull up the Michael Thomases and guys like that, and let's see what they're making, and where do we value Allen Robinson at? So I think it will come down to determining a number. But as far as a guy that has done all the work, you know, he's not a super vocal guy, but Allen Robinson's respected. You know, players like him inside the locker room. He's been very active. He's very, very philanthropic. He's great in the community. He's just a smart guy. He never embarrasses the organization. He's a great sort of spokesperson for them. I would say that everything, if you want to talk about all the pros and the cons, I think there's a lot more pros. And I think the Bears know this, and I'm sure they'll try to get something done with him. Again, it'll just come down to, you know, what that number's going to be. But again, and I said this a lot, usually in these situations, as we've seen over the course of time, if a player wants to stay and a team wants that player to stay, ultimately a deal can be done at some point. And I think at some point a deal gets done between those two parties.
All right, last thing. Ryan Pace said, I'll put our COVID-19 plan up against any team in the league. I think we have the best plan. Now, look, he's not going to come out and go, yeah, we don't even know what COVID-19 is and we're not paying attention. Obviously, everyone's going to say that. But some of the stuff I've been reading, it sounds like they do have a really, really good plan. You were part of the Zoom call with Andre Tucker. Did you find, like, wow, they're going to, like, unbelievable levels? Did you expect it?
Well, look, I think where they had the advantage, and I think Ryan Pace was very upfront when he said this to us, Cap, is that they just remodeled Halas Hall. It really is beautiful. I mean, we can make all the jokes about Soldier Field that we want.
$100 million for that facility up in Lake Forest.
I'm telling you, that's the nicest thing the Bears have ever done. Yep. It's the best thing the Bears have ever done. It's beautiful. It is so modern. It is so high-tech. It is so state-of-the-art. And to think 10 years ago how bad it was, how the player lounge was like as big as the studio you're in right now, literally. It wasn't even a lounge. It was a place where they would eat their food. It was the cafeteria. And it's gotten better. They did a renovation. I think it was 2013 after Trestman took over. 2013-2014. So they have the benefit of this brand new building. And when things are brand new, for those that do like remodeling out there for homes and stuff, it's easier, Cap, to put in the newest stuff, right? It's easier to put in the new technology. So they've gone to the touchless doors and they're swiping their badges. No one has to touch a doorknob or a door handle or anything. And they've got big locker room. I mean, the locker room is huge compared to what it used to be. They expanded they have a new player's lounge off of the locker room. Now, I'm telling you this based on what Andre Tucker told us. I have not been there yet to see this because no one has been allowed in, but I'm going off of what he said.
Mm-hmm.
They expanded into the player lounge, which was really cool. I mean, really cool lounge. But they expanded that to give extra lockers in there, give extra space, locker room space for all the 80 they're going to have here in the preseason. They're using the Walter Payton Center as their team meeting facility. Now, the new amphitheater is gorgeous. I mean, they could use that and it would be amazing, but they're going to spread out even further in the Walter Payton Center. And I think where I really appreciate what Nagy's trying to do is the masks. You know, you have to wear a mask inside House Hall. I don't care what you believe in, who you believe in. You got to wear a mask. It's common sense. It's a courtesy to everybody. So they're really sticklers on that. I think they do have a good plan. But here's the thing, Cap. Not to end this on a bad note, because you know I love Cap and Company. You know, everything is great. But what happens when they leave the facility?
No question.
I don't know. And what happens this too? It's quickly. I know we got to go. This is great stuff right now. But what happens when they start hitting? That's the unknown. I mean, hey, it could be great. It could be, this could work out. This could be smooth, and we could get to week one, and the Bears could be in great shape and health, and the season goes off, and it's wonderful, and we're pumped up. And I'm not sure from a coverage standpoint how we're going to do it, but we're going to be fired up to do it. But you don't know that until it happens, because football is just not a sport where you can spread out when you're actually playing. So if one person brings it in and they don't test positive for 3 or 4 days and you've got three padded practices, Cap, I mean, we're not doctors here, but we understand this. And I think by this point, understand it enough to realize that that's unpredictable and it's hard to predict. So I think they have done a really good job of putting the protocols in place. What's going to happen when the guys leave the facility? I don't know. And what's going to happen when the actual tackling starts? I don't know. And until then, we'll just have to just hope for the best.
Hey, man, have a great day.
You too, buddy.
There you go. Jeff Dickerson, JD. Some bad news maybe in the offing for Bulls fans.
This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Joe Colley, who does a great job covering the Chicago Bulls, just posted a story. And to summarize what Joe, who's wildly connected, Joe Colley says that because of the money that Jim Boylan is owed in the midst of no fans and global pandemic and all, that it looks like Jim Boylan's going to keep his job. I don't understand that on a franchise worth $3.2 billion. I don't understand the love for Jim Boylan in the front office. I don't. I wonder if Arturis Karnišovas is being told you cannot make a change or if he is on board with this decision. When you hear that, Chris, is my NBA go-to guy here, what do you think?
Think a lot of things. I think this will upset Bulls fans who thought that this was going to be a new era of Bulls basketball, a new way to kind of run the organization. I understand the financial concerns going forward. Cowley's piece also lays out that a part of what put pressure on the Reinsdorfs to start to make change were the empty seats. And the way things are looking at right now with the NBA, next season probably won't have fans in the stadiums if they have a season, let alone they may just do another bubble situation thing again, right?
So it doesn't sound like you're talking about now or in the winter.
Whenever they get around to that next season, there's a good chance it may not be a season. It may be a bubble. There's reports earlier this week in SI saying that people around the league who are around the bubble are suggesting that instead of risking having a season like baseball is doing right now, that maybe when we get to the winter into the spring, basketball just does another larger bubble type thing
for all the teams
to get another source of revenue, because a real 82 game season or whatever is not plausible if we don't have a vaccine. So what Cowley's piece points out is that the empty seats at the United Center put pressure on the Reinsdorfs. if there are empty seats because of the pandemic, the Reinsdorfs don't really have to worry about it because no one's going to not being, you know, not showing up to kind of showcase their displeasure with the franchise. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you want the Bulls to win, I don't think Jim Boylan's the guy. And if you were excited for Karnišovas and Eversley to take the new gigs, as many of us were, it's disappointing that they're kind of told, okay, you have to have this head coach. That's not ideal. Not ideal at all.
Does he set himself up then, Arturas, where if they get off to a slow start, bubble, United Center, wherever it is, where he can just say, yeah, I gave him a shot here, he's out.
No, it's stupid. 100% that's stupid.
Well, they don't have any money to spend in free agency.
All we have right now is time. So if the whole point is to wait to whenever they're eventually allowed to play, like, what if that next bubble or next season doesn't start until next May? The Bulls will have been off for over a year. That's not ideal. All you have is time. So what, you're going to then get to that point and say, ah, they went 4-13 to start. Okay, Jim, sorry, didn't work out.
You're out.
Fix it now. If he's not the guy, he's not the guy. I don't need 10 extra games to figure that out. I don't need a first-round bubble pull-in-play loss to figure that out.
Yeah, it's just...
And if they do think he's the guy, I have concerns about the people who are just placed to run the franchise then.
That's my point. If you're going to lose, you know, $100 and whatever million, not my money, I get it. I understand. But if they believe he's the guy, then I question who we just brought here. If you can look at that team and look at him and go, yeah, I'm good with that. Like, is Arturas going, I get it, we're losing a fortune of money. All right, I'll ride this out for a few months. Whatever. If he looks at it and goes, yeah, actually, I think that guy's a pretty good coach. I think we can win with that guy. Then I really question his judgment as the new head of basketball operations. And everyone I've talked to in the league that I know said, dude, he's awesome and Eversley's awesome. You got a good front office. So it's not my money. I understand there's insane losses. I understand it. Just please don't tell me you truly believe he's the right guy. 312-332-3776. Felix is over in Humboldt Park. Hey, Felix, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Cappy?
How you doing, kid?
I'm doing good, doing good. Hey, listen, I'm just frustrated as any Bulls fan out there. I can't believe they're doing this, but I'm thinking maybe they're doing... I think these guys in the front office know that this team is no good. And by meaning no good, I'm not saying that they're not... They're bad players, but it's not working out. Maybe they're using Jim Boylan to say, you know what? This season, we're just going to go ahead and just do everything like we did last season, continue losing, and take that top, let's just say, top five pick, top three pick, and then try to trade away the Markkanens, the Levines, and then use that number one pick and or top three pick, and then kind of sign up two big max players. Because I know deep in their hearts, they know James Boylan is not good enough for this team.
Yeah, that's my point, Felix. If they truly in their heart believe, yeah, you know what, this is the right guy to win a championship with, then I question their judgment. If they are, like you're saying, all right, look, I understand we're losing a fortune. Start the season. We're not spending this summer anyway or this offseason because we don't have any cap room. And then next summer, we can blow Boylan out and we could spend money on two max guys or make a big trade or whatever the case may be. Then they have their plans start to take shape, right?
Maybe they're just using Boylan just, you know, for another season and say, all right, you know, ride the ship, whatever. We don't even, you know, well, at the end of the day, we're going to go ahead and, you know, get rid of the players, get rid of the coach, and try to get two max players and use that top three. If assuming that they're bad like they were last year, you know, where we only win, you know, 20 games or whatever it is, you know, put it out there, you know, and they use that pick and two max players and they get on track to whatever plans they had looking forward to the, you know, 21, 22, yeah, and 23, you know?
Felix, thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Cappy.
See you, buddy. 312-332-3776. More on what Joe Colley just wrote. that financially it looks like Jim Boylan may not be out as the coach because they don't want to pay the money off. Your thoughts, 312-332-3776.
It's Cap and Co. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So Joe Colley, who's exceptionally tapped in on the Bulls, writes this morning that financial concerns make it look like Jim Boylan will not be leaving as head coach. Headline, financial concerns will keep Jim Boylan as Bulls head coach. The mood was very different months ago as the new front office seemed poised to make a coaching change in the wake of negative feedback from the players. However, with real concerns about the financial losses next season, there's growing momentum that Boylan will be back in his head coaching seat. Not good.
Cap, a lot of people on social media and calling the show are suggesting, okay, now we tank. Wasn't the last caller kind of suggesting that we could possibly tank out this upcoming season, whenever that takes place, and then we can get a high draft pick and kind of build from there?
And then spend two max slots.
Listen, I'm sick of that. Mm-hmm. Can we get some winning basketball in this city?
Yes.
I mean, it's been long enough where this team is not competitive. I'm not here to tank. I'm not here to watch a team that's complete garbage, hoping that someday someone lands in our lap for a lottery selection. Can we build a winning basketball team for once?
And Arturis Karnashovas has said, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, the excuses stop here. I don't want to hear we're young. I don't want to hear we're injured. I don't want to hear anything. There is enough talent to be good here.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how much of that talent's going to want to stick around if they know Jim Boylan is going to be the head coach.
Unless they're privately being told, wink, wink, he'll be out of here and, you know, as soon as we get our vaccine.
Well, once again, what's the point of that?
Yeah, and again, I understand it's crazy losses, nine-figure money. I get it. It's not my money. It's not Chris's or Danny's money. I get it. I just can't believe you can't go out and hire a really good assistant that maybe you have had your eye on, like Ime Udoka or Adrian Griffin, although I hear it was going to be Udoka. So we'll see where this whole thing goes.
Well, also, Doc Rivers is making what? Boylan's not making that. Right. If you were talking about removing a coach who's making $7-10 million a year,
I get it.
But Jim Boylan, without looking it up, I think is one of the lowest paid coaches in all of the NBA.
That makes $1.6 million.
Correct. And he's only guaranteed. He was guaranteed the rest of the year when they fired Fred. He was guaranteed last year and guaranteed this year.
It's silly, and that's also why they shouldn't.
And maybe one more.
And this is why they shouldn't have waited to this point. Like, maybe we were wrong. Remember, I was saying to you, like, it's not a big deal. The pandemic's going on. They may play some games this summer. They don't know. It's okay. I'm wrong. They should have made the move immediately. Start fresh. That's it.
Izzy, the mailman, our guy. I was shouting Izzy out yesterday. I don't know if you heard me. I shouted out our guy Izzy out there delivering the mail.
Oh, man, I missed that. Thanks.
What's up, man?
When I came back from vacation, I had like 3 days of mail on my case, so I've been catching up all week. So I've just been trying my hardest to get that done and come on when I feel like, you know, something's important to say. And I think this is important right here with the Bulls. To piggyback on what Chris was saying, with Felix's plan, hate to poo-poo Felix, but there's no way that wouldn't backfire with the fans. It'd be like if the Cubs would have went one extra season of tanking instead of getting Theo. You know what I'm saying? That extra season would have been detrimental. But, Cap, there's something even more detrimental than that could hurt their Bulls on the long run. And that's if they keep boiling one more season, they may lose out on the ability or the possibility of getting Adrian Griffin as a coach.
Yeah, I don't think they were going to hire him. I think the guy they wanted was Ime Udoka.
From Toronto?
Ime Udoka is from Philadelphia, from the Sixers.
Oh, the Philly assistant coach.
Yeah.
Oh, Because I thought they was going to go for I thought Griffin might be a better option as far as where this team was trying to go with their young talent and the background that he had coming up. And if he, you know, decides to go somewhere else within the next year or so, or even Udoka, those guys might not be around in another year. So you wasting time trying to see what can happen. I get what they're trying to do. Well, we got the pandemic, so we got an excuse to keep them. It's not an excuse anymore. Just like you said with Karnišovas, he said there's no more excuses. You can't use any more excuses. Even though the pandemic presents a possible good excuse, that's not going to help us. And like Chris said, the fans don't want to hear tanking. We don't want to hear we're going to lose again. The players don't even want to hear that. So I can't see how this could work out, keeping Borland. After every other change you've made, it's like you canceling that out by keeping the one guy that presents the biggest chance of change for us to go into a winning direction, which is the head coach.
Yeah, I am not understanding this. Again, as I keep saying, it's not my hundred and whatever million they're going to lose. I understand that. But if you told me we had signed a coach for 5 years at $9 million a year, I get it. You're paying this guy tip money on in terms of, you know, the NBA salaries. Eat the money and move on and get right. The right guy.
And that's why you signed him, because you're signing them for a small amount, something that you could get rid of at any time. Now they seem like they don't want to do that.
Hey, so, man, have a great day.
You as well, Cap. You all as well.
You're the best. See ya. That's our guy. Peace out. That's Izzy the Mailman back from vacay. 312-332-3776. The PGA Championship is going on right now at Harding Park. That is in the San Francisco area. Have you seen what they're wearing, Danny?
Oh, man, have I seen it.
Clothes.
They're guys wearing winter hats.
It's August
San Francisco.
In San Francisco. The first time I went to San Francisco was the first week of August.
Mm-hmm.
I showed up there in Chicago summer clothes. I had shorts. I had gym shoes. I had T-shirts. By the time I left there, I owned new pairs of jeans, new sweatshirts, new gloves. It's cold in San Francisco in August. Their summer really begins in like October. That's when it's gorgeous in San Fran.
Danny, the coldest winter I ever spent was the summer I spent in San Francisco. Isn't that how the song goes?
Hey, is that a song? I never heard that
song.
Yeah,
I think Tony Bennett.
You're quoting Tony Bennett?
It is Tony Bennett.
It's a famous line.
I don't know Tony Bennett. I'm not a Tony Bennett guy.
I saw Tony Bennett at Ravinia with Lady Gaga.
Not a Tony Bennett guy.
I'm not really into that. Like, I respect Frank Sinatra and what he means.
He's the greatest.
But, like, if you think I'm driving home listening to a Frank Sinatra song, or at any point I look at my wife and I'm like, boy, let's play some Frank Sinatra, you're kidding yourself. Like, if Frank Sinatra's on in the background of a restaurant, I could be like, okay, I can appreciate this. But at no point in my life have I ever started a Frank Sinatra song willingly out of nowhere on my own.
One of my all-time favorite songs, Summer Wind by Frank Sinatra.
It's a great song.
It's awesome.
But I would never say to myself, I'm going to, you know what I'm in the mood for right now on the ride home with the windows open? Summer Wind by Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, see, I play that. Top down on the car. Shoo, there we go.
What's your number one band, summer music, top down, windows open?
Beach Boys.
Respectable.
I mean, I have a very diverse playlist.
Well, I asked a very specific question. The one go-to band.
I mean,
not a song. I don't want a song. I want you put on their catalog, top down, windows open, you're cruising home on a 40-minute drive. You're going to listen to every song that comes up, and it's going to make you feel like summer.
It would probably be Springsteen, but I do play some Beach Boys. I play some Rolling Stones, absolutely.
But those don't feel like summer. That just feels like great music. There's certain bands that
probably
feel like summer.
Probably the Beach Boys.
How can you not like this, Danny?
Like I said, Chris, it's fine. I like it. But at no point in my life have I picked up a CD or a cassette or picked up my phone or my iPod. At any point in my entire life, in all the ways you could play music, and said to myself, let's play some Frank Sinatra.
It's so soothing.
Eh, it's fine.
It calls to me.
Right, Cap?
Absolutely.
It's elevator music right now.
Elevator music?
Yeah.
People are digging it.
What is the number one most popular elevator music song?
Coldplay. Anything by Coldplay.
That would be The Girl from Ipanema.
Yep.
That is the number one elevator song.
How does that go?
Chris, can you play that?
No. How, you sing it. I was.
Chris, can you play for us after you asked about
it? I was getting at you to sing it. I was trying to prod you into singing it.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but if I heard it, I know it. It's the girl from Ipanema. 312-332-3776. It's soothing.
It's kind of sleepy right now, guys.
No, it's not. People like this. It's like about to be lunchtime. Come on.
Chris, you put together this Blackhawks montage today, and in the back there was some Metallica. Now that's the music that I've turned on my own.
Well, this was for the Hawks. This is for the Reinsdorfs and their approach for Jim Boylan this offseason. They're just going to float through the summer.
I mean, his voice is absolutely amazing. It's like silk. But like I said, I've just not gone out of my way to say, I need to hear Sinatra today.
Well, this isn't Sinatra.
Well, Tony Bennett, whatever. It's the same genre is what I'm getting at. It's not a genre I reach for.
You realize I, like a minute ago, Cap stopped listening to us?
Yes.
I'm just letting you guys have your fun. Mocking that I know who Tony Bennett is.
I'm not mocking who Tony Bennett is.
I wasn't mocking anything.
Chris has actually been supporting.
I was listening to a nice song. What
Summer Wind. That is one of my.
How does that go? Can you sing that for us?
I can in 3 minutes.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Out there on Twitch. I like that song. I like that song a lot. I love that song.
The summer wind.
I want that as a ringtone. I don't know how to do that, but I want that as a ringtone.
From across the sea.
One of the great songs of all time.
It lingered there.
Brings a tear to my eye.
To touch your
like, I like to play that, Danny, like the first, second week of May, knowing summer's coming. Or on a beautiful July or August day, have the top down on the car and listen to that. Stop yourself.
See, when I'm driving with the top down and the windows open, I need a little something more upbeat.
No, I just kick back and, the summer and I just let the wind blow through my, what used to be my hair, and listen to this.
Oh. Anyone else picture Jim Boylan somewhere? Just dancing to this, alone by himself, like he's Joaquin Phoenix in The Joker.
He's walking right now going, take that, haters.
No, he's not saying anything. He's doing like a little ballet dance to himself, because he's sticking around. Have you seen The Joker, Cap?
One day, I don't believe I saw that.
Don't worry. I think enough people will tweet at the Catman the gif of Joaquin Phoenix and the Joker dancing alone in the bathroom. That's Jim Boylan right now. He's going to be back as your Bulls head coach.
The autumn wind.
It's amazing.
And the winter wind.
Absolutely amazing.
They have come and gone.
All right, to the phones we go. 312-332-3776. Mario is in Joliet, Illinois, as we enjoy Summer Wind by Frank. Hey, Mario, what's going on, Sparky?
Hey, Cap, what's up, man?
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, thank you. I just wanted to say, in regards to Jim Boylan, would it not make more sense and be more beneficial to the Bulls if they were to fire him and have an assistant become interim? Because then there would be no money coming on, so that kind of negates the issue with bringing more money on and having to pay Boylan and another head coach.
So who's coaching the team next year?
Whatever assistant you want. I mean, at this point, who's not to be better than Jim Boylan?
Yeah, see, you got to be a professional team. You can't just go, yeah, we're going to fire that guy, but we're not going to hire a head coach. We're going to kind of be this rudderless ship. That doesn't work either. Can't do it. You can't do it.
Now, but, I mean, aren't assistants hired for a reason? Like, they're capable coaches, are they not?
Then you have to name one of them the head coach, period. You can't say, yeah, you know what, until we get past the pandemic and we'll play in the bubble with an interim coach, that doesn't work. Interim coaches don't have any cachet with the players. And so if they try and, you know, discipline or demand certain players will go F yourself. You're not even the coach. It's a players' league. So you got to have somebody they respect.
Yeah, I guess I was just kind of trying to get to the point where they're kind of doing that with Boylan now. So I guess putting him out the door, I guess, would be a step in the right direction, maybe in the players' eyes, as opposed to still having him on.
Have a great day, buddy.
You too, man.
Appreciate you. 312-332. 332-3776. Waddle and Sylvie, 2 o'clock. In just a few minutes, crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko at noon. 6 o'clock, Jay Hood, baseball show and his program. It's such a great song. We could just literally put this on a loop. So good. So good. You know, it's another good song. Summer Breeze. Isn't that by the Beach Boys? I played that one night when it was like the polar vortex. I'm like, it's 400 below outside. I'm going to play a summer song that makes me feel better.
I think Summer Breeze is Seals and Croft.
Oh, is that who it is? Seals and Croft. It's a good song. Very good song. I should put that on my phone. I don't know how to make a ringtone. That's the problem.
Like you could go to the iTunes store and buy it.
I don't think I just tried that at the break, and they don't have the Summer Wind Frank Sinatra version. It's like somebody has a tribute to Frank.
They must not own like the rights to that.
Yeah. So I don't know. Someone has told me before you could take the song and then you can make the ringtone yourself.
Just make an MP3.
What does that mean?
The way you save the file, you're saving it as an MP3 file.
Yeah, GarageBand.
I don't know who GarageBand is.
Got a Mac?
I have a Mac computer.
There you go.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
What, you can't use it?
I don't know how to do any of that stuff. A computer for me is word processor, check the internet, and that's about it. And store my pictures that are floating up in the cloud somewhere. That's it, kid. Cubs had to trim a couple of players today. Rex Brothers is headed to South Bend. And I'm trying to remember now what the number they have. I think they have to get to 26 coming up unless they agree. The report was they were going to agree that they could keep it at 28. The players had wanted to keep it at 30. But I don't think that number is going to end up happening. So Justin Steele, Rex Brothers, they're down, but they'll be in South Bend. And South Bend continues to have inter-squad games and keep guys healthy. And we will see if the Cubs can get this bullpen righted. They lose two options. These two guys weren't like locked down, oh my God. And if they can fix Craig Kimbrell for the White Sox, okay, lost 1-0 yesterday, got really good pitching out of Dallas Keuchel. They have got to make sure they get more offense, and they got to stay healthy. You lose Madrigal. He's on the 10-day injured list with the separated shoulder. Got a bulky shoulder on Encarnacion. You got a bulky shoulder with Carlos Rodon, who, thank goodness, his MRI did not show major damage, so they think he'll be back. And then the Cubs are going to get Quintana back. And my friend Gordon Wittenmeyer at NBC Sports Chicago wrote that Quintana is the answer to the Cubs' Kimbrel problem. Did you see that, Danny?
Yeah, I asked you if you make him the closer, and you poo-pooed me.
That's not what he's saying.
Well, you're going to make him the long closer? Like, what does that mean?
He says make Quintana one of your five starters and take Chatwood and make him the closer because he has swing and miss stuff.
Absolutely not.
Not good with that?
Make him a long reliever.
Well, no, then leave him as a starter. He's been really good. We'll see how he pitches
Chatwood.
Again.
I'm not moving Chatwood.
Oh,
I'm saying Quintana. Make Quintana long reliever. And guess what that does? It makes the trade for Eloy even worse. If he's not a starter, it makes that trade even worse.
Right, and he's not a closing type guy because he's not a swing and miss type guy.
Yeah, but to say he's the answer to your Kimbrel problem, Kimbrel's the closer. That's what I took that as.
Right, because Gordon believes then he would make Chatwood the closer. So that allows Quintana's back. Okay, you get Chatwood's spot. Chatwood, you get Kimbrel's
spot. But Chatwood's been pitching so well.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's the best starting rotation in baseball based on ERA.
Agreed, but others
it's not will, broken, don't fix it.
Right. Others will say, well, you're playing the Royals and the Pirates, you better be good. Tony, real quick in Hoffman Estates. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's going on? Love you guys. Love the show. Hey, calling back. I can bring you some summer winds here. A little solution to your ringtone problem.
Yep.
The best app takes 5 minutes. Phone Key. Phone KY. You search in the song, and then you add it to your ringtone. It takes 2 minutes. My dad can do it. You can do it.
Phone KY.
Phone KY. Hit it up. Get that summer wind vibing all day, baby.
You're the best. I'll do it today.
Cappy,
all right. Take care.
See you, bud.
All the Twitch people say that you should download an app called Zedge, Z-E-D-G-E, Zedge.
Okay, hold on.
And that's a free ringtone app as well.
Phone KY or Z-E-D-G-E.
Also, Tulu, you can, Tulu.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
Okay. Just never know if you're messing with me.
Yeah, I'm totally messing
Crosstalk.
With you. No, seriously. Hey, don't write that down. I was messing with you.
Thank you. Crosstalk in exactly 2 minutes.